following message is transmitted at the request of the United States government. Attacks by the undead have been reported in several states across the country. They include Massachusetts, Michigan, New York, Ohio, and Texas. The dead are rising from their graves and are attacking the human race. At this time, it is expected that more attacks of this nature will occur in several other states in the next few hours. The intent behind the attack is unknown at this time. It has been observed that a bodily exchange of fluids is a method of transmission. If any of these things occur to you, you will turn into one of these creatures. This is an extremely dangerous situation if they crave the taste of human flesh. To protect yourself from potential effects, all residents of the United States are strongly encouraged to follow these instructions. Stay away from these creatures. Get inside a building with few doors and windows. Do not make eye contact with them. Doing this will incite attack. Seek shelter in a room above or below ground, preferably one that is blocked by several doors. Do not use any electrical devices, as this may attract them. Make sure that you take food and water with you to your place of refuge. It is not known whether this event will last for hours, days, or even longer. Stay calm, as authorities have been dispatched to deal with these creatures. An all-clear siren will be sounded when this situation is under control.
We are plugged in. It's Wednesday, 29th of March, 2017. It's the Crass Files podcast. You can go to the website, crassfiles.com. As always, lots going up there. And you can also go over to Facebook. Tons going over there as well. Over on Twitter, just look for the Crass Files. You can also get the podcast over at iTunes. And you can also check out opensourcetruth.com and also Natural Solutions Foundation page for all your health news. This is just some extra content we're putting out when we can, because things are getting desperate in Australia, so trying to do our bit and put out as much information as we can in the true alternative media. So Bernie Smith is back with me again from the truthlibrary.info, and Peter Little is rummaging around in the background somewhere there. There's, he's just like under lots of papers and folders. And
I'm just pulling out the National Immunisation Program schedule for Queensland. Just thought it might come in handy.
Well, nobody works harder on this than you,
Mr. Peter Little. I'm in overdrive today, mate.
You are, I don't know how you do it. You're non-stop.
Well, it's the big secret hyperbaric oxygen therapy, boys. So I just had 2 hours this afternoon, and
well, that's evil.
My oxygen levels are probably 10 to 20-fold yours at the moment, and my stem cells are rapidly moving to where they need to be. It's probably my brain right now. Or my heart. I don't know. There seems to be a few little daggers, or maybe my back, actually.
Well, suck in that oxygen while you can, mate.
Yeah, that's it.
It'll be a little
I'm feeling great. Feeling great.
That's good. Well, you know, this is a good way to for us to plug in, you know, with actual real alternative truth media in Australia. There's not many of us, so we're like a small brotherhood, and we need to get this information out because we're sinking pretty fast, and I feel like there's not enough people with us on board trying to bail out the water or blood as it comes in to our rickety boat, but we're trying our best. So
I think They've opened chapter 2 this week.
They have, and we've been waiting for it, haven't we?
Yeah, it's been, you know, like we knew it was written already, but they've definitely, they've opened it up now. It's I think that they decided that when Turnbull came out with No Jep, No Play Goes National, that was good enough for them on the children's front, and it was time for the next step. And, we go with adult. I think they're starting with the pensioners, but I'm sure that the childcare workers and the teachers and nurses and stuff won't be far behind with mandatory vaccines, because it's definitely happening. It's scary stuff.
I've been screaming it for years now. I don't know how much more blue in the face we can be. I mean, people are going to label us anti-vaxxers and all this rubbish, whatever you want. I don't give a stuff anymore. We're just simply here because we're trying to desperately cling on to our health freedoms. I don't want to live in a police state. I don't want to live in a medical tyranny. Australia is fast becoming a medical dictatorship. I can't believe it. It's happening in fast motion now in front of my eyes. And as you said, I was watching years ago, I think in 2013, Bernie, if I'm correct, the No Jab come in, and the push by the same mob, the same you know, newspaper people through Murdoch. Yeah. So it's all happening all over again, but with adults.
Well, I think this one is even worse in a way that was it Monday that story came out? I'm not sure if it was. Yeah, it was probably Monday that opinion piece was written about how, you know, like the biggest group of unvaccinated people in Australia, not the children, but the adults.
It's the adults' fault now.
Yeah. And how we should be focusing on them. And I'm still flabbergasted on how all the newspapers, all the media, television, shock docs on the radio, everybody had the same opinion on the same day at the same moment. I mean, if that doesn't show that we're getting set up here, I don't know what does.
Well, they already had the. It's like Apple iPhone releasing all these new phones, but it's basically the same thing. But they've already got the technology. They just want you to buy more phones. So they're all just being handed information that was all pre-set up anyway. It's all planned. That's the thing. That's why they're able to do it so quick.
But I think you need to go back, guys. I think it was planned. I think it was planned back in the late 2008, 2009. I think Dr. Sherry Tenpenny's site's probably the best. I haven't looked at it for a while, and she telegraphed back then the Healthy People Decade plan, which they've been doing since 1980, and
that's right.
2010 decade was the to 2020 was the decade of vaccinations, and by golly, have we suffered since. So that's staggered me that the number of government institutions in the United States that came together to formulate that Healthy People plan was somewhere around, I might be one or two out, but I think I remember it's about 53 separate government bodies came together in the US to do that plan, because if they are going to mandatorily vaccinate us, they need to tie us up everywhere we breathe, whether it's in the air or with those nasty concoctions that seem to float down regularly now, or whether it's via the vehicles with the driver's license, or whether we're jumping on a plane with a passport, or as you guys say, everybody started with pensions and social welfare, and I mean that's probably the big one because that's just going to smash the people that most need help and probably got the worst health outcomes already. So it's just total genocide, and it's foreshadowed by Minister Hunt too. I think the week before. Bernie and Adam, where he was quoted on one of the TV, I think it was Channel 9, saying, my target's 100% vaccination.
Yeah.
100% he's going to take out everybody.
He's gone berserk.
Every single person. So I thought, gee, that's that. I got a little bit animated that night, Adam.
Well, there's no shame, is there? They're not holding back at all. I mean, they're not going for the throat. They're eating right through the throat
of the head. I reckon when we get off this phone call, guys, we stop talking and we create three of us and anyone else who wants to join us, the Australian Political Immunisation Register. I talked about it that night. I was so outraged with Greg Hunt. He's not a bad bloke normally, but he's obviously got a gun at his head. And we actually name and shame every politician that refuses to tell us precisely their immunisations with the batch numbers, guys. We want the actual batch numbers.
That's right.
So we can see if any other human beings got that batch or whether it's the politician's batch, which we might need to test against placebo, boys, don't we, with an independent pathology lab. But anyway, I think we seriously have to do it and just make them accountable, themselves, their wives, their children. What the hell have they put in their own family's bodies? And then we start on the executive, the AMA, every single one on a board and every one of the health ministers and every one of the regulators that are running every health regulator. And let's just see. If they don't talk to us and we get nothing, well, we'll tell the public. None of them will tell us what they're on. Well, that's okay.
And News Corp columnists as well.
Oh, yeah. We will. Wonder what Rupert's on himself. I mean, that'd be interesting, wouldn't it? He's still alive, so he's obviously not on too many.
It's an incredible thing, but I'm seeing this play out again because I watched the whole No Jab come in and they used this lady, Claire Harvey, to viciously bring it in. Once it was brought in, she kind of felt like she won and we didn't really see her again. One of the websites I noticed was one called The Conversation, and that was pushing the No Jab, No Play, and they've come back now, along with the papers that Bernie's going to mention that he put up on his website.
Right.
And that article was millions of Australian adults are unvaccinated, and it's increasing disease risk for all of us. So Peter and Bernie and myself and our families are now zombies. We're walking zombies in Australia, and we're a threat. So they're kind of swiping away the kids now because they've brought in these new immunisation laws for them. And if Malcolm Turnbull gets them through at this next meeting with all the, the meeting with all the states, WA look like they're going to bring in the new laws for mandatory vax for all the childcare centres. Yeah, so now they're talking about 4.1 million unvaccinated Australians, 92%, 3.8 million are adults, and only a small fraction are children. So the adults are coming into play now. And, of course, this directly connects to the adult vaccination registry. So this we've been screaming this. This is going to come in not just for nurses but all school teachers, anyone working with kids, and that's just the start of it.
Well, I had another big one, mother, 2 weeks ago. I haven't followed it up, actually, and her son was an apprentice going into the electrician's field and was mandatorily required to have, I think, the Hep B and another one that's not even on the immunisation schedule. I'll dig it out
Well, electricians
later.
Spread
I mean,
disease,
it's electricians. Unbelievable.
Come on. Electricians are dangerous.
Well, they are. Why don't you put your finger in the wrong socket, mate? But...
Well, you know, we're all adults, and adults suffer from spreading disease. We're spreading disease now.
Yeah. There was Q fever, I think it was. I think it was Q fever. Why would they want that one? Anyway, I you just get so much each day. We all do. We get drowned each day with something new, and you go, what the hell?
And the way they market this too, I mean, this is one of my, like, they don't tell people, like, it's because, we're going to make the population sick or it's about you're missing out on the free vaccines that you could get. It's free. Go and get it. It's free. The government's paying for it. Yeah, that's how they market it towards the people. Like 3.6 million Aussies adults missing out on free vaccinations. This is the Today show on Channel 9 on Monday morning. And they've got a guy, I don't even know who he is. He doesn't have his name. He's a guy in his 30s with a beard. And if you want to listen, it's almost laughable the way they talk about it.
A lot of attention given to the 6 or 7% of Australian children who aren't receiving the recommended vaccination schedule. And yet we know that, as you say, one in two Australian adults are missing out on free vaccination, which is known to prevent severe, life-threatening, debilitating disease.
Oh, on free vaccination.
And life-threatening.
Life-threatening, debilitating.
I love the words they're using.
I think, you know, just to kind of jump on the back of the relevant news, there's an analogy here to the preparations for Cyclone Debbie, that there's a confirmation bias in adults.
You know, how good is... So they're pulling Cyclone Debbie into it?
Cyclone Debbie, eh? Maybe...
It's not killed me, therefore I'm okay, I'm not going to get this. I'm immune or I'm resistant or whatever. Yeah. Last time when I got the flu vaccine, I got the flu that year, so it doesn't work. So why would we be sandbagging in the sunshine? It doesn't really make sense. But
and it goes on, but I mean...
This is insane.
It's insane. If you actually,
it's a carnival. It's a sideshow carnival of freaks.
And the fact that Channel 9, and I'm not too sure if Channel 9 is Fairfax or Murdoch. I'm sure it's one of them because I think all the channels are. But I'm pretty sure that Channel 9, maybe they're not. But I mean, maybe
what the hell
not
was that guy talking about?
Well, I don't even know who he is. He doesn't have his name there. And I mean, he might just be a doctor or something. But
it's just insane ranting, though. Well, it's just madness, Graham.
I just thought while we're talking about this adult vaccination, I just checked the Cochrane.org website, which I regularly suggest people look at. That's spelled C-O-C-H-R-A-N-E, and that's the most independent medical research body of evidence you'll get, where they do systematic reviews of all the trials and they rigorously assess whether the scientists are basically corrupt or not, and usually the bulk of them are. But just if you want to have a quick conclusion on vaccines for preventing seasonal influenza, which will get pummeled all over the TV right now, I suppose, and its complications in people aged 65 or older, here is the conclusion of the Cochrane review done. It said the available evidence is of poor quality and provides no guidance no guidance at all regarding the safety. It's better than I thought it was, actually. We haven't used this one, Bernie.
Why do you need guidance on this?
Guidance regarding the safety, efficacy, or effectiveness of influenza vaccines for people aged 65 years or older to resolve the uncertainty and adequately powered, publicly funded, and not a corrupt drug company one, randomized placebo-controlled trial run over several seasons should be undertaken. So the chances of that happening are 0.0. I'm going to post that while we're talking. That is a joke. And that's just the tip of the iceberg. The other ones, we go later on, I'll get you the one where they actually accuse the current NHMRC CEO, the National Health and Medical Research CEO, Professor Ian Kelso, the world's leading influenza vaccine scientist. Do you want to hear what Cochrane says about that body of evidence? But let me just hand back to you guys while I find that.
Well, I mean, just to go to pneumonia, JEPs that they want to give to pensioners.
Of course.
There is the 1st of June 2011 article in the Daily Mail in the UK about it doesn't work. Pneumonia jabs for over 65s are to be scrapped by the government because they do not save lives. Millions of pensioners have been vaccinated with a one-off jab that was supposed to give 10-year protection against an infection that causes pneumonia. The vaccine program is estimated to have swallowed £100 million. Well, anyway, it goes on. Wow. So they wanted to stop it. But now, 20th of July 2011, Department of Health advisors have overturned a call to scrap pneumococcal vaccination program for over 65s after new evidence emerged for its effectiveness. So, we're literally, so there was no 1st of June, 20th of July. All of a sudden, they got new evidence that it works.
I think it's just a good way to get rid of pensioners.
You know, so, I mean, obviously it doesn't work. And that came out. and it just in 6 weeks' time or 7 weeks' time, they put out a new little thingy, and evidence emerged for its effectiveness.
It's not just that it doesn't work, but it's they're highly dangerous and kill people.
Yeah, no. But it just shows that. I mean, is there actually real studies done on the effectiveness of it? Because as far as I can see, there's been studies done and they say that it wasn't effective. And then all of a sudden there was new evidence to say the contrary, and there's never actually been a study done.
Well, the pro-vax cult members like to think in their little dream world that all these vaccines are very, very highly tested. And if one thing goes wrong, all the nurses send it back, and it goes back to the vaccine manufacturers and the big pharma companies, and they go through it rigorously and sweat about it and make sure it's all corrected, you know? It's unbelievable. Graham put up a story which I shared on my website. More than 100 seniors died after receiving this flu shot by pharmacies. It's saying health providers to senior citizens received two different brochures about flu shot with key information missing. But it seems to be this flu zone. We had the FluVax controversy in Australia with the kids. So this is being targeted to over 65s and older. Says it's manufactured by Sanofi Pasta. So this is killing elderly people, and the media aren't reporting on that. If it wasn't for Graham's post, I wouldn't have known about it myself. So this was a very important article, and it's severe adverse reactions and events with this thing, and it's still being pushed. It's just astounding.
Well, I think you've got to put it in context, Adam, that we have had a systematic, deliberate euthanasia of our elderly happening for a very, very long time. And I didn't know until last week when I was looking at the Vioxx story, right?
That's right.
Because I was at the Maurice Blackburn class action conference celebrating 25 years of class actions with zero hits on pharmaceutical companies, other than for one cartel for vitamins, would you believe? They did get a win up against three pharmaceutical companies flogging vitamins, but it was still zero for drugs. But the Vioxx one, they actually it came out that when Merck in 1998, this is the arthritis drug that had the biggest drug recall ever, cost Merck $6 billion, which is probably why they got into Gardasil not long afterwards to make the money back. And that 1998, they knew that there was a doubling of the stroke risk giving this drug, and they failed to tell anyone until 2004 when it all unraveled. However, this is a really interesting punchline. They actually can chart an increase in the death rate from when the Vioxx was introduced to when it was to when it was taken off the market in 2004, and the death rate dropped. Right? Now, that was a doubling of the stroke risk. Now, then you roll the play to when I roughed up Minister Lay and Minister Hunt in 2015, when Greg Hunt was doing his usual political manipulation of the minds of every primary school in the Flinders electorate, which goes from Portsea, which is the major wealth belt in Melbourne, all the way around the Western Port Bay and ends up at the Phillip Island with the Penguins. And I tackled him on Risperdal, which is an antipsychotic used not only for autistic patients now, but also to wipe out dementia patients, including my mother at the time, paralysing in a wheelchair with minimal time period. And that drug, the Risperdal, was always banned in the US for dementia, but Australia had fed it like lolly water, something like up to 80,000 mainly mothers, I suppose, and surprise, surprise, there was a doubling of the stroke risk announced at the end of Greg Hunt's walk, and they banned it for my mum's condition, vascular dementia. They banned it for mixed dementia, which is a combination of vascular and Alzheimer's. But the point was, again, there was a recalculation of the stroke risk with Risperdal to double it, and it was the same that had happened with Vioxx, right, with Merck, doubling the stroke risk. Then, if you want to start thinking of how they're going to kill people next, you go to the diabetes 2 drugs, and when I looked at that one in the Cochrane review, I can put that one up, 12 studies reviewed these Cochrane, reviewed the diabetes 2 drugs, and said none of the studies actually met any methodology. They couldn't actually come up with any conclusion to them. And then lo and behold, the only reason I found that out was there was a doubling of the stroke risk announced on June 7th last year, 2016. Right, and that was a Johnson & Johnson drug as well, which they also had the Risperdal drug. So it just seems to be this withholding of stroke risk, and yet we put everybody on it to kill them or nuke them completely. It's not Vioxx, it's Risperdal. It's not Risperdal, it's these diabetes 2 drugs, and then suddenly they recalculate the stroke risk. I mean, it's just blatant criminality. It's just criminal euthanasia. Why are we having an act of parliament to consider it when they're actually just taking people out deliberately?
Are you any of you have know a professor called Ioannidis? He's a professor at Stanford in America. His field is actually medicine, and he in 2016, June 2016, did a study. It's called "Why Most Clinical Research Is Not Useful," and I was put onto that by somebody close to me, and it's actually very telling. I mean, this guy has been working in medicine his whole life.
What's his full name?
It's a John Ioannidis. So it's Ioannidis. And I think I've heard somebody mention him on one of your podcasts before, Adam.
That was a Dr. Reamer who mentioned him about his how he tracked diseases back to the vaccinated and stuff. But I got in this big thing with these trolls one night because what originally happened is Dr. Remus spelt his name, Ioannidis, wrong at the end, and I posted some stuff and they accused us of making it up, and they would not let up. And then when I contacted her, she said, oops. And then when I, because you couldn't find him under that wrong name, and when I found his name, I started looking at all these incredible papers from him, and I put stuff up ages ago last year, about the middle of last year.
His first sentence of his summary is, practicing doctors and other healthcare professionals will be familiar with how little of what they find in medical journals is useful. The term clinical research is meant to cover all types of investigation that addresses questions on the treatment, prevention, diagnosis, screening, or prognosis of disease. And it goes on and on and on. I won't read it all out, but he pretty much says that most of the stuff it's useless to doctors, and that they know it in the medical field. So, I mean, to me, any doctor, so I mean, if a professor at Stanford can say that in a published article, I mean, it's commissioned, externally peer reviewed, it's a completely,
I think it's even worse than that, Bernie. You know, when you there's plenty of ex editors for, you know, major journals that have said the same thing. But I reckon the amazing one is the current, I think he's still current, he was current last year, the Lancet editor, like still actually in a job. I think his name was Norton, I might not have it exactly correct. And I mean, he quoted while he's actually working for the most reputable medical journal, Lancet, that more than half the stuff you can't believe. Like, he's editing the stuff. I mean, how does he keep his job? I mean, how does he sleep at night? Like, how do you sign off on it if you actually think half of it's fraudulent? And I've just found this Cochrane.org, if anyone wants to look at the subject names, vaccines for preventing influenza in healthy children. I like the use of the word healthy. They're not healthy for much longer.
Sorry, and I'm not sure.
Oh, sorry. And the conclusion. Sorry, you don't want me to talk about this. This is the one I got kicked out of Melbourne Uni when I was doing a Facebook Live and I got booted out and they wouldn't let me actually go and get the textbook and all this. But anyway, this is the conclusion. It said, the review showed that reliable evidence on influenza vaccines is thin, but there is evidence of widespread manipulation of conclusions and spurious notoriety of the studies. The content and conclusions of this review should be interpreted in the light of this finding. I mean, they could have just said, look, where is the corruption commission? Because we'll give you all the paper that we've just studied. This is a joke. This is influenza for children. I could not give a absolute rat's ass what they're doing to these children, these scientists. And we have to start putting the heat on the scientists. Nobody talks about regulating the scientists. Why the hell, if the editor of The Lancet saying half of my scientists are being bribed, why do we not have a science regulation authority, right? I mean, it's a joke. Maybe we set that up as well, okay? We'll set it up. There we go. Science Regulation Authority. Three of us will set it up, and we'll put the names of the scientists. I've been wanting to do this for ages, guys, but let's raise the heat on the scientists, right? They're all getting paid off by the NHMRC that does the handbook, so stuff them.
That's right.
And Cochrane names them. We'll put the Cochrane reviewers, all of these studies Cochrane says are widespread manipulation of conclusions that we're going to jab into your children. We've had 5 years of jabbing into Essendon players monopolising the media. Well, what about bloody flu vaccines going to everybody? And spurious notoriety of the studies, we can put every one of those authors in a name and shame. We'll just set it up. We don't need the government. They're never going to do it, are they? Well, and it's simple. They just give you the list of references. I'll put it up. You'll see it on my Facebook. I'll put it up. At the time people listen to this, it'll be on. And each of the scientists get name and shame. And we'll name which university, because they're all being paid off by the universities or the research, right? The Murdoch Research Institute, or whoever's lying, right? And if you want anything more, I'll put it up the other night. Yeah. Don't get me on a roll, Adam, but, you know, how in God's name can the Murdoch Research Institute share the same chairman as the chairman of the Australian Immunisation Handbook, Professor Terry Nolan, right? What a joke. He may have stood down by now, but the 10th edition was Professor Terry Nolan, paediatrician, epidemiologist and head, School of Population Health, University of Melbourne, Victoria, and he also fronts as the head of the Murdoch Children's Research Institute, and I asked him 10 questions two nights ago, and by golly, I'll be amazed if he answers one.
Some of the doctors for the Murdoch Institute actually write articles for the Murdoch papers, pushing vaccines and attacking anti-vaxxers. I've read them, and I found out some of these ladies and then went straight to discover that they work for the Murdoch Institute, and they're writing articles for the Murdoch papers pushing vaccines. And that's what the general at Real News Australia said, which is very interesting, is technically they're not allowed to push vaccines, you know, advertising, but they're doing it in a sneaky way, aren't they, Bernie? They're pushing vaccines through their papers, these mandatory jabs, but they're not actually advertising, but they're doing it in a sneaky way, and it's just incredible what they're doing.
They're calling it opinion pieces.
It's amazing.
And you can't tell me they're not getting paid, or there is not some incentive. Of course they are. I mean, we're not allowed to. But then if you look at television, and I have to be honest, I don't watch much television in Australia, but when I turn on the television, it's commercials too. So you're not allowed to advertise pharmaceuticals in Australia, but an Oral-B toothpaste commercial, Oral-B is linked to a pharmaceutical company. Yeah, the toe, fungus thing, pharmaceutical company. Some of the makeup commercials, pharmaceutical companies.
Yeah.
So a lot of commercials that we see in Australia, you know, all the painkillers, all that stuff, all those are all pharmaceutical companies, obviously. So even without them being allowed to advertise like they do in America and New Zealand for, you know, like heart medication and Alzheimer medication, all that kind of stuff, they're still advertising quite a bit, and still a lot of their advertising money is coming from pharmaceutical companies. And I think that people underestimate that as well. How many of those commercials on television are actually linked to pharmaceutical companies?
You could say that with Mia Friedman and Mamma Mia. I mean, you can watch it on YouTube. She's got the ad Save the Date to Vaccinate, where you get an app and it gives you a bell when your child needs to be vaccinated, or you. And she's directly tied to GlaxoSmithKline for Panadol and all sorts of stuff. You can watch the ads on the internet. And one of the biggest vaccine pushers in the country through Mamma Mia, but she doesn't know anything about them and admitted that.
Well, I mean, I still remember that interview she did with Malcolm Turnbull, and she sat down and she said, "Well, Malcolm, are we going to talk about vaccines?"
Well, that's what she's there to do. She's pushing an agenda, and Malcolm Turnbull's talking. It's really staggering what they're getting away with. It really is.
Yeah, well, you'll also find, and this is another area that we should find some uni students to help us, like like the whack-a-mole team are doing it with Professor Harvey at Monash Uni trying to take out all the natural crackies. But the position is all of the consumer health organisations like, you know, Asthma Australia and Cancer Council, and there's about 500 or 600, and they all put submissions in when there's any major review of health. I started going through the first 10 of them, and it's just riddled with drug companies funding them. It's a joke. It's just an absolute joke. So you've got these alleged not-for-profits in every major area of our health that are just absolutely bypassing the advertising restrictions on the drug companies and doing it for them. And I mean, you know, I've found a couple out and written to the drug companies because you never get a reply, you know, how much money they're pumping in, but they're just donors. And, you know, like there'd be at least 500 of them. I'll probably find 1,000, you know, I just need to lock myself away in winter and just get it done or get some students to help us. So they're just so clever. They just infiltrate everywhere. They've been doing it forever, and they just get away with it.
It's incredible. How many, Bernie? You put up an article on Jane Hansen, who writes for the Murdoch Papers. How many articles has she written pushing vaccines?
I've actually have to update one because I think she's done about 30 since then.
It's unbelievable. She's like a vaccine rep on steroids.
Why don't we have the Olympics of pro-vaxxers, and we'll actually have all their articles up, so you can actually see, like, you know, like you go to PubMed and people brag how many peer reviewed journals they've had in their lifetime. We'll analyse the journals, right? And then we'll ask them what vaccinations they've had.
You could put, right, every single one of Jane Hansen's articles. I mean, even if she's done 1,000, you could put them in, and you could put it into not even half an article because she repeats the same thing over and over.
Jane Hansen is the health editor for the Daily Telegraph.
Health editor.
I think that's what her title is. I mean, yeah, I'm pretty sure that's what it is. And now there has been an article, and I'm just, here it is. The vaccine pusher Jane Hansen of the Daily Telegraph shows she doesn't know anything about the vaccine debate, and that's all she writes about. And she wrote an email back to somebody that questioned her on one of her articles she wrote, and she was mixing up Andrew Wakefield and William Thompson, who we obviously know. Andrew Wakefield is the guy from the MMR vaccine that did the paper in the Lancet, then got, you know, exonerated or whatever it is, and he lost all his money, you know, like he got pretty much vilified
by Murdoch.
That. And William Thompson is by Murdoch indeed. And William Thompson is obviously the CDC whistleblower that the film Vexed is about. Now, Wakefield is obviously the director, I think, of Vexed. Is that right? Mm-hmm. I'm pretty sure he is. And but they're not the same person, but she was mixing it all up. And it's pretty funny. It's up on the Truth Library. Just search Jane Hansen, it'll come up. But this article, she just shows she doesn't have a clue about the actual – she doesn't have a clue about what Vexed is about. She doesn't know the difference between William Thompson and Dr. Wakefield. And she's been writing about Wakefield and how bad he is and just regurgitating this information that she just showed in this email that she doesn't know anything about. She doesn't have a clue.
She's on cruise control. It's pushing an agenda. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's just, you know, like, I mean, we're talking about people that have massive influence. I mean, the Daily Telegraph, I mean, how many copies of that are spread around the Queensland and New South Wales every day?
Would you say that this woman is a threat to the Australian population, giving out this kind of advice when she knows nothing about it? I mean, if someone's going to go in and vaccinate their kids based on reading one of her articles and they get damaged, Jane Hansen's not going to be at the bedside. Jane Hansen's not going to be there while that child's having multiple seizures, 100, 200 seizures a day. And Jane Hansen's not going to be there when that child dies.
Well, I think people like this, I've been using the hashtag the Atlanta trials a little bit lately. I'm, you know, it's the Nuremberg trials, but for this genocide that's going on worldwide at the moment. And I think that Atlanta, because the CDC is there and they're obviously the center for all this, even Australia uses CDC data all the time to justify their vaccination policies. And I think that a few people knowingly, and I don't know if Jane Hansen is knowing, but I mean, the likes of Dr. Offit and, you know, the Judy Gerberding of the CDC and those people, they know. You cannot tell me they don't know what they're doing.
I was just thinking about that, Bernie. Like, I'm wondering, you know, do you think that these people know that what they're doing is a lie or based on a lie?
Well, you know,
or do you think they actually really believe this spin, that they're so embedded in it that they believe it? I don't know.
Well, can I just make a comment there? Because I gatecrashed the Skeptics training course on the Friday at Melbourne Uni that preceded the weekend Skeptics conference of the year, where I was blackbanned from attending because I was too busy focusing on the Cochrane gold standard review evidence, which instead of their garbage. I've got to say that spending a whole day with these guys, there would have been 100 in the room, and they are being trained by 5 global experts on how to infiltrate social media groups and how to take out on a stretcher natural prakis through just multiple complaint methods, and how to influence the media, how to do the science, the infiltration, everything. You know, they trained me for a whole day. Got it fully taped. Thank you very much. I actually felt they believe it all. I think the bulk of them there seem to have bought the story.
It's a cult. Yeah,
I think you're right, Graham.
I was quite amazed, you know, because
that Simpson would. We know that since 2000,
right.
There's people that know the truth, and they're still pushing it. And they're not the people that are in that skeptic room. There might be, you know, like whatever it is, one or two that maybe have an inkling but don't want to actually. But I think that there's people in the CDC. There's a few doctors that push this stuff all the time. There's probably a few politicians that know much better. I mean, we all know that Simpson would happen. It's an undeniable event.
Well, I think you've got to try and – we all got to cast our mind back to when we didn't know about vaccination. I mean, I personally didn't know about vaccination until someone put me on to Judy Weilerman when she did her PhD only a year and 3 months ago. So I only started looking at it for 15 months, and I realised both my boys aged 28 and 30 are vaccine damaged. I had no idea. So you know, it's, we sort of think we, you know, we it's easy to research your stuff and know we're in the right. But I mean, there's, you know, if there is a right, we just want proper placebo-based trials like everything else. I mean, there's not much to ask for. But, you know, I think there's fair grounds for anyone who hasn't gone into it like we have to just accept, well, look, it's just everybody says it's safe and effective and everybody's doing it, and 99%, you know, why would you query it? Like, you just, you know.
I never queried it until I had children. Very honestly, I queried everything that the government does. I don't take anything the government does, but I never really thought about the whole health system really until I had children and I started looking into having my first child in a private hospital, and I saw the amount of money that was going around and the amount of stuff they give these children when you have, you know, like, and all the stuff that's got pushed on you, and yeah, the health insurance is paying for it all, you know, but there's all this money being generated in this thing. And my second child, we had a home birth, and that was much nicer and much more relaxing. And
that's right.
Cost us a lot less money. But it didn't generate any money for the health system. So I guess that's the main issue there. And I think that the pharmaceutical companies and the health system are one in a way. And that's the issue we're looking at, because you know, it's the whole health system. The whole for-profit health is the problem. There shouldn't be profit in people's health. People should just be made healthy. We're living in a free democratic country where we pay taxes. Why is there no...
There's no profit in good health, Bernie.
Exactly. But why can't we actually demand that? And why don't people demand that?
Well, it's amazing that people don't see their vaccine-damaged kids. As you said, you need to start studying it. Dr. Andrew Moulden said that. You know, it's in the face. People think my kids are fine, and they've got green snot dripping out. They've got allergies. They're allergic to everything. They've got asthma. They've got spots and blotches all over them. They've got all these signs of an incredibly weakened immune system. But the parents now believe that these kids are completely normal when they're anything but.
My child's never sick. It's just got asthma and a peanut allergy.
You know, that's the same. I mean, I'm seeing it everywhere, but I put up an article on it on this childcare worker saying she's sick of these kids in these centres. They've all got runny green noses, and the parents are shoving them in there and filling them up with these, you know, ibuprofen and paracetamol, and then they've got all this green slime coming out of their noses all day, all year round. And we're looking at a 93% vaccination rate. Malcolm Turnbull wants to... As Graham was saying before, your buddy Graham wants 100%, but, you know, I mean, we've got 93% vaccination rate and we've got childcare centres filled to the brim with snotty green-nosed kids.
What about the fact that, I'm just trying to think of other angles too, like when I looked at...
It's like a vaccine cyborg, Graham.
Yeah, just don't say that name too quick, Greg Hunt.
Greg Hunt. Yeah, Greg Campbell. Now, Greg helped me with getting amalgam fillings out of our teeth. So he got us in the United Nations Convention. We're the only country holding out. So he did a good job there back in 2011, and he did finally succumb to getting Risperdal banned for two of the three conditions and shorten it, you know, for others. So I got confidence that we could put him, you know. Put it this way, I think he's going to be better than any other health minister. He hasn't said that all vaccines are safe and effective. So I put him on noses on that one. So at least he hasn't said it yet. So that's a start. But I'm just looking at the MMR situation. I mean, I think the weakest link they've got, this is the one I'm honing in on with Professor Terry Nolan, you know, who's got the two hats with Murdoch Institute, doing a lot of the vaccine research and also having been chairing the main committee behind the handbook. The MMR vaccine story is the issue behind the Vax movie. The Vax movie is the corruption movie of the century. That's what I call it, because it found two key areas of corruption in relation to the MMR that William Thompson, the lead scientist, admitted to. One, that if you bring forward the giving of the MMR from 4 years to 3 years, there's a sharp jump in autism. So they got rid of that effect. And secondly, the Afro-American effect was a big jump, something like, I don't know, Bernie might know the exact number, it was about 236% or something. That the point is, in Australia, we put out a handbook on this critical, controversial, most corrupt cover-up of any trial ever, and the USA does the second booster at this four-year period, right? But it even says it can be up to 6 years, the second one, right? The first one's done at 12 months. The same thing happens in Canada, 48 months to 72 months. That's the second booster for MMR. The UK does it at 3 years and 4 months. That's 40 months. So you've got the three big countries we follow doing the booster at 40 months, 48 to 72, 48 to 72. And Australia has brought it forward to 18 months. 18 months, and said in the handbook, this is the best clinical evidence globally, which clearly it's bullshit. And they have also censored the release of the autism stats. So I believe Australia will be the highest rate of autism in the world, because we are guinea pigging our children at 18 months with the second MMR, and we're loading up a second live virus for that second one. So not only are we bringing forward from 4 years to 18 months the MMR, we're giving them also the varicella, which is a live chickenpox virus, and saying, cop this as well, see how you go. Now, when I queried the Australian Bureau of Statistics, and I got it in writing 2 weeks ago, tell me what the latest autism stats are, all I could find were the 2012 stats. They said, look, we've done them in 2015, but we haven't released them. And in writing, Adam, Bernie knows it. Mm. I mean, in writing, they've told me, we do not intend to release the 2015 autism rate this year, in 2017. Does that mean they're not going to do it to 2018? So
hiding.
Like, unbelievable, you know. So Greg Hunt has walked into a time bomb on the Vax movie going nuts in the US and just drowning the political environment over there. You know, he's paralyzed in responding to this issue.
We are actually proving that what the Vax movie is saying is actually true, because America and what you said, Canada and the UK, have moved away and have, you know, realized that they made a mistake there, and Australia are still doing the 18 months, and it's exactly what Thompson says.
Well, yeah, they didn't change it, Bernie. We were the ones, and we now understand why they've censored it, right? I didn't realise it when I first saw it, but the reason they've censored it, because we were 4 years, right? So the ninth edition was 4 years, and they brought it forward in mid 2013. So the 10th edition of the handball was the current one. That's when they brought it in Australia to 18 months, right? Now so naturally 2015 stats, they would have a year and a half of autism rates, right? Yeah. So they're probably nervous because it's not a good look. And you've got the Vax movie coming out and everything, and the pro-choice group getting active on social media. And right at the time that they've gone back to this 18-month figure, who knows what's happening, you know. And someone posted, Benny, you might have it, and I haven't been able to find it since, the rate in Australia between the ages of 5 and 9 for autism is running at 1 in 33. And then if you accept that across the globe and in Australia it's traditionally been 4 boys to 1 girl, right, yeah. When you do the maths, if it is 1 in 33 across the board, it brings it back to 1 in 25 males, right, yeah. Which presumably is based on those 2015 stats that someone's probably got or leaked or something, right? So 1 in 25, I mean, that's pretty amazing, isn't it? A lot more than in the States, where I think there's 1 in 48, the last one I saw, you know.
Well, 1 in 25 is 4 in 100, so that means 4% of boys.
And they're not diagnosing as well. I mean, you know, we had the ABC guy, remember that one, John Fame? And he actually interviewed a journalist from the ABC radio, that was why he had her on. And she talked about the battle she had with her autistic kid to get him diagnosed, right? And so the hospitals are desperately not diagnosing autism because it's blowing out the whole national disability scheme. So, you know, another woman got on the radio and said, it's taken me 4 years to get a diagnosis for autism. So whatever the stats are, they're probably way understated because they're just desperately trying to cover up this autism explosion, you know, and doing it at 18 months with no evidence. Like, it's just gone out on a limb straight and said, well, stuff it, let's nuke our children. You know, we already gave the boys the Gardasil at 9, you know, without any trials. We're the first in the world to nuke the boys. You know, let's rip into our little 18-month-old and just load them up, you know, see if they bust, you know. Sick.
It's unbelievable. I save so many articles from the mainstream media. I mean, I've got one here from The Australian, the autism explosion in Australian schools. They're saying in Queensland they're really suffering and teachers are snapping about this. And I put a link up on my website as well with the Keep Your Snotty-Nosed Kids at Home. Australia having the worst food allergy levels ever recorded in the world. They're not saying it's just the highest food allergy levels in the world. It's extreme food allergies in Australia. And also from Western Australian newspapers saying that teachers are struggling to care for the skyrocketing number of students with autism in Australian schools. That's all mainstream media. The teachers aren't receiving any training. They've got a whole class full of kids and they're pumping in these autistic kids. As well, as you said, Peter, they're being misdiagnosed in that regard. But here you have it from the main papers. Why do we have this skyrocketing incidence of autism? And ultrasounds come into play as well, with vaccines acting as a trigger. That can be a thing as well.
And then these kids are getting put on psychoactive medication.
That's right.
Like, there is actually, it used to be off-labeling, and now they've actually just recently, I saw, started to this medication that's made for people with bipolar disorder and schizophrenia, and they were off-labeling it to kids with autism, which seemed to work. So now they've just, without, like, as far as I could find, and I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, anybody, and send me the links, please, but I could not see that there's ever been any testing from this medication on autism or on children. So I think they've just taken the data from all these doctors that off-label prescribe drugs that should never have been given to children in the first place, let alone the children with autism, and, oh, it seems to work, it calms them down. So let's just make it part of the thing now. So
it's even worse than that, Bernie, because there have been something like 3,000 or 4,000 actual legal cases lodged in the States for the giving of these psychotic drugs for autistic children, like 2, 3, 4 years of age, and they're growing female breasts at a rate of knots. Like some of them are going like double D, you know. And they're having to have operations to remove the, you know, to remove these breasts. Like, it's just incredible. And I did put all that to Greg Hunt on his Walk for Autism, but he didn't want to know about it in 2015. But he's just reminded myself to get on the bike and see if he's worried about warning people about that risk. But and if you want to go to MMR, right, just had a quick look at that Cochrane.org review, which is entitled, let me have a quick look, it's entitled, Using the Combined Vaccine for Protection of Children Against Measles, Mumps and Rubella. It was done in February 2012. Interestingly, I posted this some time ago and trapped the chairman of the Friends of Science in Medicine, and he cooked himself. We identified no studies. This is the independent gold standard review of all trials around the world. No studies assessing the effectiveness of MMR vaccine against clinical or laboratory confirmed rubella. Effectiveness of mumps was estimated between about 64% to 66%. So there's a lot of people not working with mumps. And then you go down to the conclusion, you know, it's the usual fatal blow, which is just about the entire medical system when you review it for proper science. But design and reporting of safety outcomes in MMR vaccine studies, both pre they get approved and post-marketing, are largely inadequate. The evidence of adverse events following immunisation with the MMR vaccine cannot be separated from its role in preventing the target diseases. So, you know, it's just these are independent conclusion. Science bodies saying it's just
it does
a joke,
not work.
You know? We did not mean done. We haven't got a clue. Yeah. It's just bang all these vaccines, and I've got my records from 1955 when I was born. I had 4 vaccines by the time I was 4. Bernie and I have worked on this before with posts, and there's 44 given, excluding the flu vaccine and the vitamin K cancer vaccine or injection. Sorry, did I say cancer injection? No, can I retract that? Fancy saying it could cause cancer. We'll come back to that one later.
We'll do another one on that. 44 versus 4.
Like, grandparents about to get mandatory vaccination as an adult. This is how we win. You know, all think, oh, we're all right, we're fine. Well, guys, you had 4. Kids are having 44, so you've got to catch up at least 40. And you've probably not got immunity anyway on most of them anyway, your 4 you had. And one of them would have been polio, which has probably given us cancer anyway with that simian monkey virus nonsense of 40. What's that one?
Well, I was in the 80s and I got 12, I think.
You got 12. So, yeah, that's so, right. So.
So that was Europe, but I don't know what it was in Australia at that time, but that was the early 80s, it was 12. So it's more than tripled since then.
And well, maybe we need the grandparents register. You know, they're doing the adult register. What the grandparents have got a lot of time on their hands to talk to the children and care for, you know, a lot of the parents are needing, they're working, you know, trying both working or at least one's looking after a vaccine damaged kid. I mean, they need the grandparents. I think the grandparents are a secret weapon because A, they're getting nuked. They've got to learn it for themselves, but they're going to be alarmed when they hear these stats that they only had 3 or 4 and the kids are having 10 times and maybe 15 times more. I mean, you know, we and they all get a vote, you know. I mean, they all get a vote. So 20% of them probably over 65, I think, last time I looked. So there's a lot of votes politically. And
you know how the government does it because they say, oh, it's 15.
15.
It's not 44, it's 15. It's 15 shots, right. But there's 44 doses in it. And those 15 shots, there's 44 doses. So they'll be fooled by all this propaganda from the government, aren't it? Because, and I think that what we really need to start, especially in Australia now, is to start recognizing this media push for adult vaccinations and people to start waking up. I think people are. I think that the amount of comments I've seen online, on pages and on stuff, on this adult mandatory push has been quite amazing compared to what it was for No Jab, No Pay and No Play. I think that people are actually starting to wake up and go like, no, not me. Screw that. And I think this might actually backfire. And I hope that if we can just get one person at a time, and he talks to friends at work and says, like, mate, I don't want to do this. And then he says, oh, yeah, I don't want to do that. Goes home and talks to his wife, and the wife talks at work. And before we know it, we've got thousands of people more that are going like, nah. And every time they read an article, they might see through the bullshit. And then that's the only way I can see us actually getting somewhere. It's just people power. And it's people going,
well,
nah.
Well, what about shopping centers? Should we try and get out there and spread Brandy Vaughan's Learn the Wrist and all that type of stuff? You know, she's got a lot of good material. We could adapt it for Australia, or just use her material and just hit the shopping centre and just see what reaction. I mean, I've been wanting to do that for a while.
Well, I think, I mean, like, I think in Australia it's hard because you get a lot of people just get defensive, and I think there's a lot of guilt too with parents.
Yeah, you know, that's like, a good point.
Vaccines are not, no, they can't be true because I vaccinated my child, and my child does have a runny nose, and my child does have behavioural problems, and it's not my fault. I should have known better. Yeah, and it's that guilt that stops people from wanting to recognize what it's actually doing. But when this push comes for adults and it's them, they might actually start going, you know what? No, I don't want this. I don't want this for me. So I've got a little bit of hope, a glimmer, and I'm hoping that this is actually their own, that they're actually putting their own nail in the coffin, to say it like that. That they
It's a bit scary with this autism thing, just from this autism explosion in Australia. It's saying here autism now affects, and this is from The Australian, it's saying autism now affects 1 in 100 children. At this rate, every third classroom in the country is likely to include a student with autism or ASD, spectrum disorder, of course. Many teachers supervise classes with 3 or 4 in the mix, in addition to students who have other issues affecting their behaviour and ability to learn. In Victoria, Moralbark East Primary counts 80 children with autism among its 600 students.
What?
The principal of a Queensland school where 100 in the population of 500 have disabilities, half with a diagnosis of autism, describe the deep what? End of kids hitting, biting, weeing on people, screaming, throwing tantrums, assaulting staff and students, and hanging off balconies.
So are we looking at a bad batch for these communities then?
You mentioned that before as well, Bernie, with these autistic kids being put on these psych drugs as well. And as he's saying, hitting, biting, weeing on people, throwing terrible tantrums. This is what's happening in classrooms.
These psychoactive drugs, the brain altering, and it's not just growing tits. This stuff is actually changing people's brain chemistry and, you know, like in some cases, probably creating little psychopaths, and you know, it's
we never had this level in Australia, and it's compounding, and it's getting shorter and shorter, wow. and it's going to be it's going to get like American levels. You're going to get 1 in 40, 1 in 30, 1 in 20, as they just keep forcing to vaccinate these kids, and they're just going to get these extreme disabilities and behavioural problems. And how are teaching staff going to deal with this?
Well, you know, I had a mother ring me who's been in the pro, you know, informed consent movement for 25 years, and her 16-year-old son was unvaccinated, but had some autism spectrum disorder diagnosis in his early years, and he was admitted into a psychiatric hospital when he was 15. And about 18 months ago, he was sexually abused not very long afterwards. She complained, and ever since, it's been a nightmare. And at short notice on Friday, they lodged an application for this boy who was currently in a psych ward to go before the mental health tribunal this afternoon. And I had to toss up whether I'd jump on a plane and help. I just didn't have enough time. And I just heard that they have seized the boy, and he's got a six week period under the mental health care authority, and that decision was done without the treating doctor there, and by a single lawyer, and you know, it's just a horror movie. Now that boy has had 7 different cocktails, including 2 antipsychotics he's on at the moment.
and he's allergic to quite a lot of them, and it's just a deliberate taking out of this kid. Like, he's just totally nuked. I mean, and then they go for guardianship off the parent, you know.
His mind's
and the kid,
been
and the kid's 16. When the kid's 16, like, who's looking after these kids, you know? And nothing's been done about the sexual abuse. I mean, it's the four corners highlighted on Monday night. Yeah.
One in six, yeah, exactly. Americans, Graham. One in six Americans take psychiatric drugs.
Yeah, well, we're talking seven. We're talking seven. He's a 6-year-old. He's a 16-year-old. He had nothing at 15. You know, they can't think of any better way.
It's horrifying.
We've got to get everybody out in the country. We've got to get them on farms. We've got to get them out of the city where the bloody clouds are just looking like...
That's their main form of attack, to take to separate man from nature.
It's just unbelievable. But it's just a horror movie story. I'm sure Bernie knows a bit about that area. I mean, it's just a can of worms. And the Cochrane co-founder, Peter Gotchke, Gotzsche, you know, it's just smashed the hell out of the psychiatric drugs, you know, and that there's virtually zero evidence supporting any of them. I can tell you about the methadone program. I'll get that Cochrane up and put it up. I've done three posts while we're at it, boys. But the Cochrane, I recall, on methadone actually had the placebo being no better than the methadone program. In addition, I think something like 19,000 people getting the methadone program around Australia at the time this was done. There was a coroner's report in Victoria that said there's 2,400 deaths being caused. Like 2,400, that's not two. That's not like two measles cases or, you know, in 100 years. I mean, that's 2,400 recommending this program be curtailed.
And
what did the authorities do? What do? The ACCC took on the Narconon body, which is run by a naturopath, I know, and, you know, criticising the fact that she was addressing the heroin addicts and the ice addicts using all natural therapies, including massive detoxing with very mild sauna, you know, for long periods each day. Like, they attacked her. Well, and they led the whole, you know, methadone program for treating heroin and the flow on with the ice addict untouched. Like, just killing people after people. It's just incredible. You just can't believe this is the independent gold standard evidence. You read it and no one else reads it. No one else talks about it, and nothing ever happens.
No, I don't have to talk about it all the time, the Cochrane, and it works. But as soon as we pull it up, and say, this is also...
Well, the mainstream never talk about it. You never, ever hear about it, not once. Get them to talk
Only
about it.
Only one kid that gets chicken pox. They blow it up into Armageddon, end of the world.
Baby getting whooping cough, you know?
They're getting it off their parents and siblings.
Oh, and that's it. Like, even, let's say, you know, like a whooping cough, it could be from the vaccine, but it could also be an older brother or sister going to school, having a recently vaccinated kid there that gives it to them, and then they take it home, and it doesn't even, you know, like, it can be 4, 5, 6 kids away, and it can still travel through people and end up in a baby, and it could still be coming from the vaccine.
Oh, yeah, they're spreading it all over the place. There was a vaccine impact article, a great one, went everywhere. Recently vaccinated kids are spreading whooping cough everywhere. And they got all the graphs here. They tell you everything in this article. I've put it everywhere. They absolutely annihilate herd immunity. They've got hundreds of links on this one. It's a really great article on pertussis. The CDC, Graham, I read you that. They admit as well that the vaccine's basically a failure, and they're carrying it without any symptoms and spreading it.
That reminds me too, guys, and I think we may have talked about this before. Turnbull, I reckon, they introduced the adult immunisation register for the 1st of September, and I think it was in the first – that was last year, 2016. I think about the first or second week of October, Turnbull announced the removal of the school immunisation register and dropping of the Year 7 DTaP booster. Because the male internally was that the older kids were getting the booster, and then they were infecting all the babies and the younger kids that the parents were having, and that all was done very quietly. So I never went back into that to see what's flowed from that. But that's a huge you know, if you're trying to, you know, I try and isolate the weakest link, you know, if we go and watch that old TV series. So I think the MMR at 18 months is a very weak link in Australia. I think the vitamin K without informed consent, with massive cancer studies that have been covered up in the 90s and a complete lie by the manufacturer Roche that there's never been any carcinogenic studies, is a weak link. And I think this school immunisation register must be a massive weak link with the DTP if he's pulled at the year seven. What was the evidence that required him to get rid of the school immunisation register at a time
right.
he introduced the adult immunisation register, and at a time I was attacking the use of the same DTP on pregnant women that have never been tested as well? So if it's not good enough for the year seven kids, what the far out are they doing to pregnant women?
Well, this is, you were talking about that. I've got an article here that good news from the 2015 budget, the adult immunization register. So the $26 million over 4 years to fund a range of initiatives that will boost immunization coverage in Australia. Implementation of a national digital recording system for school-based vaccinations, as well as an adult immunization register from September 2016. And this page is called the Vaccine Hub. vaccinehub.com.au. It's a Sanofi Pasteur website. It's actually completely like the Sanofi Pasteur is on the top. So it says Vaccine Hub, get the fax on immunization from a vaccine provider. It's just ridiculous.
You don't want to start on all of that, because then I've got the handbook here. I can go to page 279 of the handbook.
You carry that around like a Bible, don't you?
Well, I do. Well, I might have got the page wrong. I haven't created it for a while.
It's glued to your hand, isn't it?
I'm right. No, I'm wrong, actually. Oh, there's 296, was it? There it is, 296. Sorry, got that wrong.
We need to put you up on a milk crate in the middle of the city.
What you need to do, there's an electric bike that one of our network, I've been on radio, she does radio like you, actually, Jane Zier, actually. You love to Jane. Community radio down in Chelsea. Anyway, she's got an electric bike, and she's got the attachment at the back, right, where you could put like a – you put a plasma screen or whatever, so I could be riding a bike, getting training to keep myself healthy. When I get a bit tired, I can bang the electricity on, and then we can have rolling videos going all the time of whatever we want to post, and just ride through all the shopping centres, you know, all around the country. I mean, that'd suit me. Pick the good weather. I don't want to go up in Queensland during floods. But anyway, if we look at page 296 of the Australian Immunisation Handbook, which you can look at an online version because they're no longer going to do a print copy, by the way, boys and girls. They've just decided to cut that out. But I think it's called Immunise Australia, isn't it? Or Immunise.
Immunise.gov.au, I think.
Fantasy story.
Yeah, well, this is a fairy. Maybe we do a children's book series. I mean, think about it. It's Immunise. Yeah, there it is. Immunise.health.gov.au. And anyway, you'll get that under one of the headings at the top. You go to 4.11.4 under vaccines. It says clinical trials of MMR vaccine indicate 95% mumps seroconversion after a single dose. That they actually quote a trial that was not the peak evidence. The peak evidence was Cochrane evidence, and they didn't report that to down the bottom, where the Cochrane said that the effectiveness was down as low as 69%. And they forgot to say there's a court action with two whistleblowers from Merck saying they forged the 95% studies anyway by putting rabbit blood, I think, in to top up the percentages.
But then
when you go to the end of this very first evidence, it's this 95% evidence, is that there's a reference number 4. So you go to the back of the book and there's no references. They don't tell you. So then you go from memory. It took me about 3 weeks to find this reference 4 on the 95% efficacy. You end up going to the vaccines textbook, which is written by the medical director of Sanofi Pasteur, co-authored by William Thompson's co-fraudulent scientist that did the fraudulent MMR vaccine, Orenstein. And then the sixth edition is actually written also by Dr. Offit. So that's the reference. You can probably get back to this textbook. So it's got nothing to do with any independence. It's just the drug boys. And then you can't find a specific trial. It's just one big chapter. There's not actually a specific trial that you can actually look at. And they've all admitted it. So you know, that's the best evidence to the mumps, which is you know, cherry picking and ignoring the Cochrane that said it was only 69% and a court case where they said it was forged anyway, and that it doesn't even relate back to a proper scientific trial. I mean, and it was all back in the 50s and 60s, and I think we're up to 2017, I think, aren't we?
Yeah.
You know, I think, let's give a boost to an 18 months. Like, let's give the second one an 18 months, Greg Hunt. So, boy, I tell you what.
I think I might have to let you boys go because I'm going to call it a night, but we have to do this again soon.
We will, absolutely.
Absolutely. If you two want to have a little bit of a more of a chat.
Oh, well, I think we're probably pretty done. Love to Greg Hunt and Malcolm Turnbull, and, you know, we hope they've got their arms well and truly ready for the jabs, and, you know, let's see if they'll take him. Catch-up schedule.
Yeah, Greg Hunt's going to need both arms and legs.
Well, why don't we get his wife and his mother, because they're both nurses. I'll challenge his wife and the mother to bang in the children's catch-up, because I had a case recently where the mother caved in right at the death knock. She was going to win in the family court big time because she exercised her right of providing a legal requirement. Forget a right. She's legally required as a guardian, having custody of a child, to provide to the practitioner a valid informed consent. And she'd ask these questions of the head nurse at the Royal Children's, let's raise a shitload of money, hospital, and 32 questions failed to get answered by the head immunisation nurse, the head paediatrician, and the head of the whole damn clinic over 6 or 7 months. And the husband just blackmailed her in the family court after that, and she was told she was going to lose custody of the kids because she's exercising a legal right, you know, to get informed consent, and was getting nothing. So then she capitulated, rolled over, never got tested in family court. Poor little 7-year-old got jabbed within 3 weeks of getting the 10 vaccine catch-up. The kid got a tooth abscess 3 weeks later. You know, like, what a joke, you know. What a joke. Yeah. So let's finish on that note. Absolutely. The Royal Children's Hospital are a very sick lot, and we should be taking the money off. Whatever the parents give them on Good Friday should go to vaccine-damaged children. Demonic. And any that have been given pharmaceutical drugs like Little Chase that have never been approved for children, including knockout drugs that are supposed to be there for anaesthetising you, you know, in an operation or an MRI.
Yes. No, It's cruel. It's ridiculous. And,
satanic. Satanic. Yeah. It's not cruel. Right. It's satanic.
It is. It's
evil.
Satanic.
It's criminal. It's manslaughter. Yeah. It's murder. At some point, it's murder. It's got to be murder at some point.
No, it is. That's why I'm saying the Atlanta trials, there's going to be people there, just like at the Nuremberg trials. Georgia has the death penalty. I think people, like, there's people there that, if they knew and they're still going on with this, if it's for greed or because, you know, whatever the reasons is to keep up this lie, those people deserve the death penalty because they are killing children and maiming children every day.
What if they are scared they're going to go to jail? Because, I mean, I talk about it all the time, and they should go to jail, right? And I can do a private legal action for criminality as anybody else can, right? You can actually do it as a private citizen, and the Attorney General's got the right to take the case over. So we could go down that route. The other way, we could treat it like the tax system, you know, where everybody's being roared in tax. We'll have a moratorium, pay the right tax, and you won't go to jail. Well, why don't we say to them, if they are worried about going to jail and admitting it, what if we actually go the other way and say, look, rather than us get involved in a massive court action, which is what's going to happen, I can promise you, we have a moratorium on the basis that unless all the politicians agree to have the catch-up schedule that the kids are having, no kid's going to get jabbed until we get the entire parliament, state and federal, and we'll have a moratorium on any action against anyone that's been involved in this cover-up. We'll just avoid the whole thing, just put a whole moratorium on it. I mean, and then no one goes to jail. But then at least none of the kids, we've all got total freedom of choice then, and everybody can school their kids if they want to. You don't get discriminated against because the public will suddenly realise that the politicians won't take it. And the doctors. We want all the head paediatrician. We want every paediatrician. So every registered paediatrician and every politician, right, state and federal, and every registered paediatrician, forget the rest of the doctors, the paediatricians, right, they've all got to have the catch-up schedule with the batch numbers, right, and all done independently, right, with media coverage, right?
Yep, no, I agree. That's the pressure on.
I mean, then they don't have to go to jail. Then they might. You might find that enough people come forward then with that, right?
Well, there's going to be some that fear that they're going to be scared.
Well, they're going to be scared because between you, me, you know, the gatepost, look, you know, like by the time we get to the 2020 election, I mean, the independents were already 25% at the last election. I mean, if you get another 25% waking up in the next 3 years, there's 50%. Well, none of them are going to get voted in. No party's going to control the parliament. It's going to be a total stalemate. I can't see any basis upon which anyone's going to control the federal parliament in 3 years' time because I just can't see three more years of this stuff being covered up. I just don't think we're going to be able to keep it going. And therefore, you know, not only then are they not going to be in power, but they are going to go to jail because you will get people like a Trump or whatever that will want to take scalps, right?
I want to see these Murdoch columnists go to prison.
Well, they should. They
and
should.
Some of these trolls as well, they know who they are.
Oh, well, I'm getting trolled pretty hard behind the scenes. They're domestic terrorists. But anyway, whether they're trolls or not, it doesn't matter whether they're trolls or not. They're just people that...
They're domestic terrorists.
...are defaming you left, right and centre on stuff. They've got no evidence and they know it's not true. Surely they must
not. Oh, they need to be arrested.
Yeah. Oh, well.
Anyway, we'll good plug on you guys. Now. It's great to speak to you. Bernie, you want to plug your website and info quickly and then...
Truthlibrary.info. Go to the website. There's a search button. As I said, type in Jane Henson or articles will come up. Type in vaccines. Hundreds of articles, thousands of articles will come up. There's about 2,500 articles up there now.
Fantastic.
If you ever look at something, just search. The search works very well. And you can find your stuff quickly. It's what I use it all the time myself.
It works. No, it's a great site. Well done, Bernie.
And obviously, original content, it is
doing really well. Really well.
Thanks, guys.
My site needs a social media attention if anyone out there wants to start helping me. But www.fightpharmacorruption.com and lots and lots of Facebook lives via Peter Little on Facebook. But that may change to Graham Little Knee Peter Pope after my recent official name change. This is now my legal name combining my two original birth certificates.
You're a national treasure, Peter. We just couldn't do it without you. You're cutting through so much trash, even in our own movement, if you will. You know, you're cutting through all of it, and you're getting things done so quickly. It's great to have you, and we're linking up. You know, I mean, Kras Files had, you know, 46,500 visits on the page links just in the last 5 days or so. So people, we're getting info out, and we're linking up with Truth Library, Real News Australia, you, Peter, on Facebook. We're putting all this stuff out. You know, we're up against it, but we've got heart and passion, and we're going to continue. You know, this is real media, and it's good that we're linking up with this. We need each other. We need to stick together here. It's so important.
That's it. And let the trolls come after us because the way I see it, the more they attack me, the more I know I've got an impact because they wouldn't be giving me any light of day if I wouldn't have an impact. So,
I wouldn't worry. They're just chronic masturbators, mate.
I think it's important to allow the trolls to come onto your site. I mean, I did that with the Friends of Science in Medicine with John Cunningham and I'm doing it right now. So, I mean, anybody wants to have a crack at you, I mean, bring them on, and the rest of the people can judge.
Oh, they're doing me a great
service.
Who
are the people that are trying to stop you, right? Because maybe some of the people that are defending those that are defaming me, maybe they need to be looked at. Maybe they've got genuine grounds. I'm not, you know, if I want people to express their views, but then other people can then judge on the consistency of behaviour and the passion and the motivation that each person is bringing to the table. Judge who you want to believe and who you don't. I mean, we're not going to all be loved by everybody. I mean, because we're very polarized in putting our views. But I mean, if we don't put our views the way we believe, well, we're just compromising our own beliefs. They want us to be silent. None of us are prepared to be silent. Whatever they
do,
insulting, intimidating,
no.
dividing, distracting.
No, it's my bloody country as well.
Exactly. You know. We've all got children
I'm not
potential grandchildren. So.
That's right.
But the bottom line is we're all anti-vaxxers, but it doesn't mean we're all the same. We're all different people, and there's a lot of different people in the movement, and we don't have to be all friends. But a bit of respect, you know, everybody would be nice.
I just want these people burning out of my life. Get out of my life. Get out of my head. Get out of my children's head. It's none of your business. These stinking Murdoch people, go away. Yeah. I don't want this government doesn't tell me what to do. It's my life. It's my health. I'll do what I want. I want these people out of my life. I'm sick of this.
There's 80 million travellers, like individual pieces of travel happening in Australia. So we're not regulating any travel coming into the country and going interstate. So the whole thing is a farce, just on the travel argument, right? Well, that's good. Let them do that. See, I think that's great. If they want to vaccinate every traveller, it decimates the Australian economy, decimates tourism. They can't do it. The tourism lobby would stop it, right?
Yeah, that's true. But they're already spraying coming into Australia.
Yeah, but they'll make it. It's just different to having 40 vaccines or 60 or whatever. So I think we have to keep pushing the fact that the tourism is not being vaccinated. So it's got to be 100% of the tourists.
I'll tell you what else, Graham, I want just quickly before we go. If Malcolm Turnbull gets in this mandatory vaccination which will mean that every single childcare facility in Australia contains only fully vaccinated children, that means that no unvaccinated children will be in these centres Australia-wide to blame. I am expecting almost overnight or within weeks or months a complete end to all the runny noses. I'm expecting a complete end to all the chicken pox, the measles, the mumps, and every other nasty illness you can poke a stick at. I want to see an end to all of it. All of it's gone.
Well, you realise that Russia had mandatory vaccination in the 90s? Someone posted that. And they had so many problems, they got rid of it.
Why do you think they would bite themselves on the ass like this? Because this is really going to display the problem here. You know, because they won't have anyone to blame, and that's what we're seeing now. They're now going to adults. They're hiding it, and they're going to blame adults now.
Well, we've just got to get politicians to agree to do it and paediatricians. Once they've all agreed to do it, then fine.
I want to see Minister Hennessy injected with a garbage bin of vaccine liquid.
She needs 100,000. Well, she gets the 100,000. Whatever Merck can't flog on the influenza or CSL, I think it's got the influenza.
She can bob for
needles. You can put the last 100,000 into her. You know, so she's all dosed up for next year.
Minister Hennessy can bob for needles.
Okay. Enough frivolity. We love Minister Hennessy. She's doing a great job.
No, I don't.
She's doing a great job.
I'll be honest. No, she can leave.
No, these people can go.
That's it.
I think they can go to prison.
Thank you.
I think, all right, guys. Thanks very much.
See you guys. See you
again soon. Thank you very much for plugging in.
Bye.
Thanks,
Adam.
Okay, thanks. And look at this. American corporations have no legally enforceable obligation to work for the benefit of the patients who will be taking sublethal doses of their potentially very toxic products every day for the rest of their lives. And American vaccine makers are legally immune from prosecution for injury or death from their potentially neurotoxic vaccines and brain damage from Big Pharma's psych drugs are hard to prove in court, especially with the power of the company's million-dollar legal teams. Just remember that. They don't care about you. The media doesn't care about you. The government doesn't care about you when you get, when you cop a blow. It's Russian roulette with a needle. And every time you take your child in to get vaccinated, you just don't know what you're going to get. And you get an injury, these vaccine-pushing cult members are not going to be there for you. They're not going to be by your child's bedside. They are going to disappear out of your life very quickly. Just remember that these companies are just despicable. They are disgusting. They are ghouls. Preying on our children. They are like demons preying on our children's health and souls, and they'll just eat them alive with their faces in our children's stomachs. gobbling down all their insides and eating out their brains and throwing the carcass of your children in the garbage. These people don't care. So take care of yourselves. Thanks for listening. And thanks for listening to Alternative Media. And thanks to Bernie. Great guy. Truthlibrary.info. I'll put those links up today, tomorrow. And thanks to Peter Little. He's also a health advocate lawyer, if we missed that. Peter is a lawyer, and he is going around the country doing incredible work. So thank you very much for those guys having a chat with me tonight, and take care. Thank you.